Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, skin cancer is the most common cancer in Ireland, with over 13,000 new cases diagnosed every single year. And what's more worrying is that the National Cancer Registry of Ireland expects this number to double by 2040. Kate Maloney was diagnosed with skin cancer at 19, and she's gone on to beat it twice, and she joins me now. Kate, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. Listen, tell me your story about your sort of first brush with cancer, I guess, when it came into your family first.
So it actually came in, well, my father died when in 2008, and he had, he had cancer. It was only weeks from diagnosis to death, actually. So that was my first brush with cancer.
Yeah.
But I picked a freckle not long after he had died on the back of my right calf.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 16 at the time, like I was a teenager, so I had, you know, teenage skin.
Yeah, of
and,
course.
But it bled for a long time. And
oh,
I thought
gosh.
It was strange at the time, all right. But then it kind of hardened into a black growth over time.
Mm.
And it was kind of bumpy and a bit itchy, and it would bleed a small bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being the size of about 2 cent coin. And then by the time I was 19, so this was like growing for 3 years, really.
Yeah, yeah. But you're what? Like, you're a teenager. Like, of course you don't think that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you'd never think. I mean, we just had dealt with cancer in the family. I really didn't think it was
no,
growing
of course
in
not.
My body.
Yeah.
You know, so then I went into the doctor with a chest infection, and it was pure side thought. I said, what do you think of that?
Mm-hmm.
He sent me to a dermatologist, and then they were like, okay, melanoma, that's what you have.
They just knew straight away, did they?
The dermatologist knew, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Biopsied it and the whole lot, yeah.
Okay. And so when you got the... Because I think a lot of people say this who actually get that diagnosis, it's like... It just the whole world kind of crashes around you, doesn't it? Like no matter what or how treatable they're telling you it is, it doesn't matter. What was it like when you got that call?
I guess like when you're in your prime, like I was 19,
of course.
And I was in college. I laugh because every time I go to college, I seem to get cancer. I'm like, I'm not studying again.
Oh,
I don't
fair,
know,
but, yeah.
Yeah, the first time around, I was in studying music in UL, actually, just in the middle of all the crack and then just being shot down like that. But because I was very numb about Dad, you know, I mean, an awful lot of cancer patients, since some cancer patients kind of, it looks like they take it on the chin. I was just like, grand, I kind of powered through it, but I didn't know what I was dealing with at all. And I was extremely numb over my father's death. So I've since learned that, like, therapy is really, really important for people who grieve, caregivers and patients as well. It was a total, you know, I didn't know what I was doing or how to navigate it.
Well, like being so young with something like that, I mean, like grown adults get that diagnosis and fall apart, you know what I mean? But you're saying you were 19 and kind of were quite pragmatic, I guess, where he is. You're just sort of like, this is the way it is and I have to get the treatment.
Yeah, well, I think there was a touch of denial. I couldn't really,
sure.
You know. Now, the second time around I got it, I was doing a master's at the time.
Mm.
And at that point, I had known a lot more about melanoma. Like, melanoma, with regard to skin cancer, is one you don't want to get. And I had kind of, you know, I had done my research then after everything, because I thought I would be in the clear and it would never come back. But when it did come back, I was trying to kind of straighten out my life. And then I just got really mad. I felt like everything blew up in my face then, because there was quite a lot of depression involved in, you know, running and denial and escapism. I didn't want to believe I had cancer.
Can I ask you just the first round of treatment that you had to have?
Sure.
That was a lot, wasn't it, for you?
Yeah. Well, the first time around, what they do is they cut out the surrounding area. So they cut out a bit of my calf. And then it didn't spread that time, which I was very, very lucky.
Yeah.
So what they do is they take out a lymph node from your groin area.
Yeah.
And then my surgeon said, in the years to come, just watch for the groin area if you see lumps there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of key to know as well. So that's how I knew the second time around, say.
Okay. Yeah. So when you got the, you know, you had thought that it was sort of, you'd done your treatment and, you know, done everything that you were supposed to do. And how long after that did it come back?
7 years.
Seven years.
Seven. I really didn't think it would have.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I was burning the candle at both ends. When I look back now, I've had to overhaul a lot of my lifestyle.
Your life, yeah.
And I wasn't dealing with things properly. It just kept bubbling up.
Mm.
So it came back, but luckily again, it didn't spread far enough to, you know, it was on the brink of terminal, but I just caught it again in time. And that's why I'm always talking about catching things on,
absolutely,
you know, on time. But yeah, the second time around, then they took the lymph nodes out of the leg.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them anyways. And then that caused lymphedema.
And how did that affect you? What have you had to change about your own lifestyle since the second time around?
Oh, everything.
You've had to overhaul, have you?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably went into shock because of all that but the thing is, it's worked. So really the very first thing I did was I had to say I have to stop drinking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in your late 20s,
mm-hmm,
and in Ireland, and
I know exactly
medicine.
Yeah, the worst possible time.
I was surrounded by alcohol all the time, and I actually remember meeting a friend who I played music with, and he was like, are you off the sauce?
I have to
because it's actually too painful with my leg. And then he goes, oh my god, there must be another way, like, couldn't you amputate the leg or something?
God.
Oh my god.
amputate the leg in
this country, it's really hard though.
Oh, I should be laughing. That's too funny. In fairness.
You can't laugh.
Hilarious.
That's what I've learned from everything, is if you can't laugh, you're screwed.
That's definitely true. And when you did the overhaul, you know, we stopped drinking the booze and you changed, you know, life and everything. Did that help with the, you know, how to manage your pain and manage your conditions and stuff since the treatment? Did it?
Usually.
Yeah.
I mean, so I went down the plant-based route. I mean, I fell into every trap on the way.
Uh-huh.
You have your vegan. I went back to fruit, veg, kept it really simple.
Yeah.
And I could see the leg going down. And I brought it back to, I mean, it's the same size as the other, to a place, I mean, minimal pain. Whereas before it was chronic. I couldn't stand. I couldn't have a conversation with someone because I was just constantly in pain, you know. So, I mean, there's an awful lot to be said because, you know, there's a lot of conflicting arguments about what to do, but the proof is in the pudding there. My leg is functioning really well now.
It's very annoying, isn't it, that eating vegetables and exercising actually works? Very irritating.
I tried everything else.
Nothing worked. So annoying. How's your life now? You're a teacher. You're a teacher.
Brilliant. So it's much better. I mean, I'm in a happier place than I have been in decades.
Good.
Really, because of everything I had to address, and just I feel my body feels better than it has in a long time. I do. I feel a lot better. I mean, there's a lot of healing left to do.
Of course.
That, you know?
Yeah, of
but,
course.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to getting back into the classroom?
No.
No. Yes, I love an honest teacher.
I'm starting a new job now, so I know I am.
Don't just start that. I know I am. I've so many teacher friends who are just like, oh god, this is grim. I know, I know. Come here. Are you still playing music?
Yeah. So
good.
I stopped for a while because, you know, I was all consumed, but now I'm kind of back playing again and I'm loving it. So I'm really, really happy.
Brilliant.
But I'm just, so I'm doing a bit of work for the Sunsmart campaign as well. This year. And just a couple of things I noticed as well, like, just oddly enough, I feel kind of compelled to say this, but it's all about protection and from the sun. And it's the details are on hse.ie as well. I would be more for wearing protective clothing. Like, a lot of people have come to me with melanoma since, actually, and are really worried. They get hyper frightened of the sun and things like that. But what I'd be kind of passionate about would be, you know, banning the sunbeds
in
Ireland.
Yes,
you know,
I hear
that's another big thing. I mean, they're banned in Australia at the moment. They're illegal there. I know a lot.
They're illegal in Australia, are they? I didn't know that. That's really interesting. Yeah, and it's just something like you see Irish people and how fair we are and how pale we are and stuff. You just you think it's a recipe for disaster, really, isn't it?
Oh my God, I just feel like chasing after people and shaking them, like as they could just see with the fallout from melanoma, and it really ups your chances of getting it.
Yeah,
so it's really not worth it, you know. But also just an. Funnily enough, a couple of weeks ago, I was standing in my shower and I was staring at a shampoo bottle, and it had a warning hazard on the back of it, and it said wear protective clothing after use for up to a week after.
Interesting.
Sunburn alert. So, and I was thinking, man, that's a shampoo, that's really strange. So I did a little bit more research on that, and there's a chemical in it called alpha hydroxylic acid.
Okay.
And it's in an awful lot of cosmetics, and it's probably strongly linked to melanoma as well. So I think the sun may pull the trigger if you burn yourself, but there's a lot, there's an awful lot in the details.
Helping, helping,
you know,
to
chemicals and things like that are just.
What's interesting is the, you know, people might be on medications and stuff, or, you know, various creams or whatever that raise their risk, their sunburn risk and that kind of thing. What advice would you have for anybody who's listening that might say, like you, putting off a visit to the doctor for 3 years or going through what you went to? What is it that you would say to them if they're kind of a bit in that limbo, I guess?
So are you kind of saying who's
people who are listening to you now who might be putting off a visit to a doctor? They think they might have, you know, that they're worried about. Maybe just your advice is just go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if you feel like a hypochondriac, I mean, for me, I went in a good few times. Within those 7 years, there was a few lumps and bumps, things like that. Just swollen nose, it could be nothing.
Yeah.
Like, but the fact that I went in and the lump, it's just the fact that it wasn't moving. It was kind of burrowed into the skin. Mm-hmm. And I could feel like, okay, that was a hard lump.
I know
what you
mean.
It was, it did come back. So, but just go in anyway.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the stats are very high. Like you said there, it's projected to double before 2040.
Yeah.
And you can't be vigilant enough now. Like, you know.
Well, Kate, it's fair dues to you. You've done it's such a buzzer. Like, I can tell you're a proper buzzer, even without the booze. So you're like, had no effect on you whatsoever. But if people want to find out more, they can head over to hse.ie/sunsmart and your Instagram as well, Kate. What's your Instagram?
Oh, yeah, that's Nine Lives Kitty.
Nine Lives Kitty.
Yeah, I've a few lives used between the nights out now and the cancer, but I'm
going to
stop using the
lines. No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have a good few left, I'd say. You have a good few left. Come here. It was lovely to chat to you today. And thanks a million for chatting to us this morning. That was Kate Maloney. She was diagnosed with skin cancer twice, but she's gone on to beat it. And she's now a spokesperson for the HSE's SunSmart campaign. If you want to find out more, you can head over to hse.ie/SunSmart.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.